Welcome to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer Podcast. Richard here, your favorite announcer, hearkening you to season 6 of the podcast. Fred, your principal reminder, asked me to remind you of a most pressing result of prayer. So to converse with God, Him who we daily design to glorify and serve, and whom we expect daily in some measure to enjoy, and fully and finally, ere it is long, is certainly throughout a way of pleasantness and peace. John Howe, A Treatise of Delighting in God, and Tongue and Pen and Wit, cannot express my joy. Samuel Rutherford. The joy, peace, and comfort, in short, the abundant life which sustains the soul of the children of God, is developed through daily conversation with Holy God. Let's join with Fred now as he reminds us to pray, pray, and pray.
Good morning, noon, or evening, wherever it is that you're listening. We're setting first off again the context for our prayer as we open the podcast. Again, this is April 14th, 2020. We're still, hopefully, prayerfully, at the tail end of the pandemic, but we're still in it. Now you'll know why we pray what we pray. If you happen to listen to this in the future and don't necessarily know what's going on, you'll have some context. There's a pandemic going on. I call it the Rona. And so we like to open that with prayer at this point in time, prayer for the world. Because the reality is, the podcast actually goes out, and I've mentioned before that I'm surprised by this, but it goes out to many places in the world, over 20 countries in the world. And in those places, the coronavirus means something a little different than it does to us here in America. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. We thank you for this beautiful day. We do bless you. And we thank you for your abundant goodness to us. Even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of fear, even in the midst for some of us of sorrow, your abundant goodness still shines through. So we would bow before you again as we've been praying for the last several weeks and for the last couple of weeks on this podcast that you would shorten this virus. We thank you for the wisdom of some men and women who help us to know what to do and to keep it shorter, but we would pray your supernatural work to keep it shorter as well. We just pray. We know your goodness is to us. We know that you have a purpose in everything, including this. We're praying that for the church, it means revival, and for the world, it means more eyes looking to you to see what you have to tell us and to see what your word says. So we thank you for that, and we bless you for that. We pray your healing. We pray your protection. And ultimately, your abundant mercies, even in this. And again, we thank you that we can trust you. We pray today that you would also take the words of the podcast and use them, according to your will, to work in people's lives. I thank you for the reinforcement of men who are much smarter than I am, and a test to prayer, its effectiveness, and its necessity. So again, we pray that we would borrow from them their words, and hear in a different voice the emphasis that we need to have as Christians in our prayer lives. Again, we thank you that we can entrust these things to you because you are our Savior and because you prove over and over again that you will use your word to bring about your will. So we present these words to you today. We present these thoughts to you today. Take them and make them into something meaningful for everyone who hears. We bless you and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come to you in prayer because of your love for us, which demonstrated itself through your sacrifice on the cross and your blood shed on our behalf. We commit all this to you in your holy and wonderful name. Amen. Welcome to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer podcast. My name is Fred, and I'm the host of the podcast. The Lord is merciful, I say it over and over again. He's merciful to let me have this chance to teach prayer. And in fact, next time I'm kind of excited already because we have a short encouragement to my soul and actually reinforces for us by one of the greatest preachers ever, maybe the greatest preacher, the Prince of Preachers, We're going to share a quote with him that encourages my soul and again, lets us know how important he thought prayer was. Thank you, Jesus, that as we pray and as we commit everything to you, our confidence grows and it grows. So we thank you that you let us pray to you and that we have confidence that our prayers are effective to the accomplishment of your holy and good will. That was a short prayer within the introduction there. And when we talk about being effective, I'm not talking about an outrageous manner that God answers our prayers, that he has to answer every prayer that we pray the way we pray it, or that he has to say yes to us every time. But he does move, and as we pray and as we give him things, we will see things in our lives that are just amazing. They are from God, and they show us that he is listening as we pour out our hearts before him. And as we talk to him, he answers and shows us not only what to pray for, but shows us the power of that prayer. And we've talked about those from time to time as well. Now, you may hear some extra noise today. I'm still working on this temporary setting. So you may hear that today, and I'll try to cut out as much as I can. If you read the details describing the podcast, you will have noticed in the last podcast that there are more ways now than ever to keep up with us here at Free Range Preacher. We've always had freerangeprayer@gmail.com, and I'm really excited and actually very joyful to tell you that we're on Facebook now. It's called Free Range Preacher Ministries, and you can see there, you can see more about the ministry. Right now, we have on the site an introduction to our staff, some wonderful people there, and then you can link together as a prayer community in ways that we wouldn't be able to do outside of having our computers and the internet. And it's wonderful to be in a community of like-minded prayer warriors. So you can find us there. We also have an Instagram page. I'm so old, I can't even say it very well. It's called Free Range Ministries. That's all one word. And again, you'll be able to see pictures and prayers from there and get in contact with your brothers and sisters around the world who are praying. And so if you want some encouragement, some daily verses, you can always look there for those as well. And again, we do want to make a worldwide community of Christians who pray and take praying seriously. And we're praying here that these new avenues will also help us to develop our mentoring relationship between us here and everyone who listens and to increase our communication, because that's key for any sort of relationship. Today, then, in our commitment to encourage and exhort everyone to a consistent prayer life, every Christian, we've been doing something we just started calling, I think this is the third one, in others' words. And primarily we do that. I want you to hear a different voice that reinforces prayer and the importance of prayer. And today we're going back to the book from D.A. Carson, Praying with Paul. And early on in his book, I think it's the first chapter after the introduction, he goes through that chapter where he's repeating the things that he have heard, very practical thoughts that he has heard before, helping people to build a consistent, timely prayer life. And the very first exhortation you've actually heard from here at the very beginning and probably throughout the podcast as well. But this comes again, this is the number one point in his opening chapter on building that prayer life. And this is what he says. My voice, it's kind of springtime here on top of everything else, allergies. But here's what he says. Much praying is not done because we do not plan to pray. We do not drift into spiritual life. We do not drift into disciplined prayer. We will not grow in prayer unless we plan to pray. That means we must self-consciously set aside time to do nothing but pray. What we actually do reflects our highest priorities. That means we can proclaim our commitment to prayer, even till the cows come home. I threw one word in there. Till the cows come home. But unless we actually pray, our actions disown our words. And I love the way he makes this point. A couple of things there. First, we have a harder time praying when we don't have a plan to pray. That only makes sense. But he's mentioning that here. And if you think biblically, David had a plan of prayer every day. Daniel had a plan to pray every day. Jesus had a plan to pray every day. He had set times as well, usually in the evening or early in the morning or all night long. And so the first step is obviously planning to pray and then carrying that out. And then I love the point that he ends up with as well is we all have a rough time when we start to committing to something, especially to prayer. And we can know and think and believe in the importance of prayer, but our sincerity is demonstrated in our determination to move ahead and to choose those times to pray. And I've been telling you from the beginning, even if you've never prayed, even if you don't understand it or you don't know and you have issues, we start to pray. And as we pray and grow and mature, the Lord teaches us. But perhaps if I had to do it all over again, I'd take one step back and say, plan to pray. Make a time, make an appointment every day to sit down and pray. Along with this, I need to remind you as well that we shouldn't let the stuttering of our process, the stop and go, keep us, discourage us so that we don't pray, discourage us into inactivity or in those times when we don't pray. The Lord's always ready to hear. He's always willing to hear. He's always ready to hear an answer. And he's not going to chew you out if you miss a day or two or a couple weeks. And we've talked before about children and growth, and I love that analogy. And here's a different little flavor on that. I don't think I've ever met any baby or heard of any baby ever that let their falling down and their wobbly knees and their difficulty in balancing. I've never heard of any baby who falls down three or four times and then just says, I'm going to quit walking. And I love that analogy because I know if you're born again, your heart longs to talk to God. And even as a baby Christian, if we believe that prayer is important, we are going to fall down a few times, a lot of times, for a long time before we're satisfied or even begin to be satisfied with our prayer lives. So I love that analogy. Make a time. Plan. Even if you fail, plan. One last thing in this idea as well, before we move on. I also mentioned early on that at one stage in my prayer life, the development of it, my time goal was 3 minutes. 3 minutes a day to concentrate on God and to tell him what was on my mind. And if you think about that, if you start out there and that's your goal, 3 minutes, you can schedule it in the morning. You can schedule it in the afternoon. You can do that on a break while you're at work. You can pray on your drive home. You can pray in the shower. You can pray at bedtime. Wherever you start, you can carve out those times to pray. And I know he said in the quote, that means planning to pray. That means we must self-consciously set aside time to do nothing but pray. In those beginning stages, if all you think you have is 3 minutes in the car on the way home, that's when you pray. Because I'm telling you, as you grow in your prayer life and you grow closer to God, that's going to change. Your time is going to grow. What you say is going to grow. Your personality is going to grow from who you are, what you need, and what you're convicted of. So yes, a time dedicated only to prayer is wonderful, and that's part of our goal. But don't make that a standard that will frustrate you and keep you from praying. Start and see what God does in your life. It'll be amazing. A little later, his fourth point is this, and it's a practical point of advice as well, and I love this as well too. And when you hear it, you're going to know if you've listened at all where I'm going to head with this. But I'm going to go ahead and do this. This is point four in D.A. Carson's book, first chapter, I believe, on praying with Paul is the name of the book. Point number four, he says, is choose models, but choose them well. Most of us can improve our praying by carefully, thoughtfully, listening to others pray. This does not mean we should copy everything we hear. Some people use an informal, chatty style in prayer that reflects their own personality and perhaps the context in which they were converted. Others intone their prayers before God with a genuine erudition coupled with solemn formality, developing vocabulary and forms of English considered idiomatic 350 years ago. Quickly, parenthetically, I kind of fall into that latter category myself, although sometimes my style is chatty. I'm talking to God. I'm talking to my Father. Back to the quote there, though. Carson goes on to say, neither extreme is an intrinsically good model. Both might be good models, but not because of the relatively external habits and certainly not because of merely cultural or personal idiosyncrasies. When we find good models, we will study their content and urgency, but we will not ape their idiom. Sometimes you might, sometimes I do. That's parenthetically as well. Back to the quote. Then he makes this point. All these styles of prayer, all are characterized by a wonderful mixture of contrition and boldness in prayer. And that's actually an amazing statement. We may center on that for one whole podcast at some point, because that's a wonderful comment. All sincere prayer, and I'm throwing that sincere part in, are characterized by a wonderful mixture of contrition and boldness in prayer. I love it. We don't ape from each other, but we may steal a little bit. I call it stealing. Because when he says not to ape, that means mimic, what he's telling us again is something we reinforce over and over again, is that God wants us to pray from our hearts sincerely, from our hearts, mind, and souls. He wants to hear your own words. It doesn't matter what they are. You are free to pray them, and God will listen. I have a little video that I had forgotten I have taken of my grandson praying, maybe when he was 5 years old. I'm going to post that on Instagram one time so you can kind of hear that. But everything he says at that age, it must have been 4 or 5. Everything he says at that age, he's awfully tall. Everything he says at that age, I know God understood what he was talking about and where his heart was headed. And you're encouraged. God wants to hear you and your words. Now, where I am headed with this, and I kind of can't help myself, if you have a history with us, you know that I will affirm with all my heart, mind, and soul, everything that is in me, that you can have no better or more thorough example of prayer than David. Read the Psalms, listen to the Psalms, read them over and over again. You will hear how devoted David is in worship, how broken and contrite he is when he confesses, how joyous he is when he sees God's will and God's answers to prayers, his sincere love for God through the Psalms, how broken and depressed he could be at times. And still he poured out his heart before the Holy God of the universe. He knew God, he understood God. And even when he talks about his afflictions, this is from Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. Verse 71 of the same Psalm, 119. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Even in his troubles and afflictions and fears, as he matured, he knew they were necessary, and they brought him not only back to God's word that he would learn it, but also to the place where he greatly desired to keep it, to do it. And we know he didn't do it perfectly, but his desire was still there. And when we take David's approach to trials and the tempering and the maturity that those bring, we understand that God brings us through them to the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's wonderful. As you desire to pray, I implore you to read the Psalms. Keep reading them. Learn prayer at the feet of David. I don't like to guarantee much, but I guarantee you, he will thank me if you do, or as you do. And then you can add any human example, any other human example you want. I love reading the prayers of the Puritans. I love reading the prayers of saints of old. I've learned a lot through that. But begin, I urge you, with David. And just to reinforce Dr. Carson's point, we do not drift into spiritual life. We do not drift into disciplined prayer. We will not grow in prayer unless we plan to pray. So make them. And then as you have opportunity, carefully listen, carefully and thoughtfully listen to others pray and choose good examples. Thank you for listening. I do really hope that helps. It is an encouragement to me to see that smart guys have said, before I've said them, some of the things I've said. We're going to look at one more of those in the next episode. Please remember, you can contact us at freerangeprayer@gmail.com, on Facebook at Free Range Preacher Ministries, Instagram, Free Range Ministries, all one word. Again, thank you for listening. And until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to give you the peace that passes all understanding as you grow and commit your life to him in prayer.